Yo, what's going on, Brendan?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah, man, I'm out here chilling, B, man. I am currently, like, I'm recording a podcast with you, as you know. We're having fun right now. We're going to have a good time. But I'm also strategically avoiding doing work in my apartment right now. So like, that's like the cool part of having a digital focused job with a non-digital understanding father, you know? Right now, I'm supposed to be doing blue-collar work upstairs, you know? And I'm like, yo, I don't want to do that. That looks heavy. But I can't say that, you know? So I was like, oh, I got to record a podcast today. And he don't know what a podcast is. So he was like, all right, go do what you got
to
do. And now here we are.
Some room to jerk off. Just like the old days. Nothing never changes.
I just need privacy, okay? You know, that's what he understood. And I needed it specifically for about 2.5 to 3 hours. How long you said I was going to take? 2 hours? I need 2.5 hours to do this job. But yeah, once I'm done, I'll be free if you want to. If you want any help, you know, picking up the styrofoam or whatever's left over, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. You know, that's what I'm doing right now.
See, but that's like, you got like family helping you out. Like for me, I just outsource the work. I get like TaskRabbit, so I don't feel judged because I'm like, hey, if you're going to make me feel a certain type of way about hiring you, then I don't need to pay you. I'll pull Trump and not pay you for your work.
I hear that. But like, the thing is like, to do with it, they're installing my new laundry machine.
Ooh.
So, like, the TaskRabbit, to pay someone to do that would be like $100, I'd assume. Like, you know, this is currently costing me 6 coronas, you know, 6 coronas and admittedly some embarrassment, a little judgment. I could deal with the judgment. That's cool. They're going to say, oh, Gaston is less of a man, you know, because he doesn't do these things around the house. I'm okay with that. They thought of that about me yesterday. They could think that about me tomorrow, but I'm only down $20 in these coronas, you know?
That's fair.
And that's because I overprayed, you know, I bought like the big coronas. I should have bought the little baby coronas, you know?
Yep.
Or I should have bought the coronas ahead of time. I bought them at the corner store. I had to pay these pumped up prices right now.
Damn, yeah.
But either way, I'm okay with the judgment, you know? Let them sweat a little bit today. They need to work out, you know? But I do feel a little bad because, like, one of the workers ain't come through. So it's my 60-year-old dad and the dude. So, like, I know every now and then, like, because they're in the background. So I hear my dad go, coño, you know? In Spanish, he cursing. And he's going to walk out into the living room where my son is and talk shit about me. And then, admittedly, I'm going to have to agree when my son says, hey, dad said you was dodging work. I'm going to be like, you right, little man. Yeah. I ain't front. He's definitely correct. I should have helped. But he handled it. We out here, B, okay? It's getting done. That's the point. The new laundry machine will be installed. I've been coatless for a week now because my laundry machine died with my coat in it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I've been out here going to shows, no jacket, no sweater, because all my warm stuff was in this one shift. So like, I'm t-shirt. I've been wearing like 3 button-up shirts.
You can air dry your stuff?
But it's wet and it's stuck inside. Like the machine won't let me open it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's like a button to open it, but it's stuck behind the unit. And in order to slide the unit, I'd have to take the dryer off because it's a stack one.
Damn,
so, yeah, man. Here we are, coatless, sweaterless, you know, 1 week strong, baby. And that's, of course, the week that New York decided, hey, we're going to throw out this one last snowstorm, this one last rainstorm, you know, hold us down for March. But I'm making it happen, baby, you know, all positives. That's what I'm looking at.
Lie, bro.
That's what we do out here, you know. What have you been up to, man?
Man, I just been, you know, I got work. I'm traveling to Texas, going to South by Southwest.
Dope.
Festival for my Medium Popcorn podcast, so that'll be dope. I'm going to finally get some Texas barbecue. I've never been to Texas, so I'm looking forward to it, even though, you know, that state's got a lot of problems, from my understanding. But, yeah, man, I mean, I'm just chilling. I'm looking forward to watching a lot of movies, you know, and just trying to live my best life, bro. That's all I can do. You know, we only have this one life. I'm just trying to milk the shit out of it.
Amen. I like that perspective of life, B. I feel like, you know, not enough t-shirts say milk the shit out of it. I'm surprised that hasn't.
It's a bit suggestive, so I can see why, you know.
I feel like that's why it should be on a t-shirt, because it could be like double meaning. And like, I feel like t-shirt companies like silly shit like that. Yeah. Like, it's not a, it, like, it should be a bumper sticker somewhere, you know, life, you know, is like, life is like a titty, milk the shit out of it or something. Like, that should be, I'm not saying it's a good bumper sticker. I'm just saying, I'm surprised it's not one, you know? There's people out there making money off of that. Like, it's on a mug or something, you know, and being sold on like Facebook ads. But it's catchy. I think more people should look at someone, make that a business. You know, let me know how it goes. Do like Facebook advertisement on Brandon's slogan. Send him residuals, like 5% of sales.
Oh, yeah. I should get more than that.
Take care of my man Brandon. But I think that's a solid business model. You don't even have to spend money up front. You get like maybe like $20 on Fiverr, have someone design it, and then just like have the pre-orders come in before you sell any of the mugs and t-shirts. Boom. I'm helping people out here, B.
Yeah, man, you a marketing genius right now. You just,
that's it. See, man. That's why y'all listen to this show. It's to learn, succeed, okay? I'm trying to make it happen for y'all out here in these streets, you know? Help me help you. That's what we do at the War Report, baby. Let's get into the news. That's what we do. The giant venomous spider has infiltrated the southeastern U.S. and is expected to spread rapidly. That's right. The itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout. I promise you that is the first line of an article on CNN.com. That's right.
These writers are out of their minds.
That is so wild that like I had to read that.
It was like they owe 2,000 words. It's like, well, some of them are going to be a nursery rhyme.
Oh, man. That is so awesome. Yeah, the hell out of Horto spiders, or Trichonephila clavata, I think I'm reading that correctly, can grow up to 4 inches in length, about the size of the palm of your hand or larger, and it could spread into the northeastern United States, according to Benjamin Frick, co-author of a study of the Horto spider species published in the Journal of Psychological Entomology. With spindly legs, pardon me, and a striking black, yellow, and gray striped abdomen, the spiders are native to southeastern Asia, but already spread nearly a decade ago to southeastern U.S. with its warm climate, said Frick, an undergraduate ecology student at the University of Georgia in Athens. In his research, Frick determined that the Horto spider can exist in colder climates too, which is why the spread to the northeast is possible. While not a threat, and there is no data to prove they are harmful to the environments where they move to, in light of this, people should not embark on spider genocide. All this would achieve is needless killing of a beautiful animal. That's right. My man's trying to get ahead of it because there's going to be some pretty spiders out there that you're going to be scared of. But he's saying don't kill it, collect it.
Nope.
Okay. Now, they are venomous, but they're not dangerous, meaning they can poison certain creatures like insects for a meal, according to Paula Cushion, the senior curator of the invertebrate zoology at the Denver Museum. However, the spider's fangs are virtually incapable of breaking human skin. So, yeah, you should be safe out there in the streets. If you see them, you know, maybe start a new hobby, you know. I think they look cool. They look like the, like one of the alternate Spider-Man logos.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, they do. It does look like one of the radioactive spiders that bit either Miles or Peter Parker. But at the same time, anything that says venomous, I'm never going to fully be like, oh, yeah, I'll be fine. Because like, these things also will evolve. So it's possible like it could be, you know, evolve into a different iteration of the spider. Then that's the one that you got to worry about.
Yeah. You and also like
multiply.
Yeah, like you never know which one this is, and like I get mad at these things because like these experts study this shit for years. I'm not an expert. Like I'm not looking at a spider on the street and being like, "Yo, hold up, let me look up, see if this is the venomous one or not that bites me and kills me, or the venomous one that doesn't bite me and kill me." You know, I don't know the difference. I just see scary spider. I wouldn't have even noticed that it was blue and yellow until like a day or two later after therapy, like when we talk it over and review and I could like reflect on it from a safe sofa, you know, but like in the moment I'm just running, you know, I'm not like looking at the 5-inch spider and reflecting carefully on what spider it is. I don't know who these people are to do that, but like I see Spider, I'm out. I'll get talking points later. You know, I'm not there to look at the Spider and study it and decide, oh, this is cool. You seem friendly. You seem cordial. I should get to know you, Spider. Who are these people? You know, mm-hmm. It's madness. Yep. But I do rock with the colors. I think this would be a dope, like Uptown colorway. I want these, you know. Like Hordo Uptowns, tell me that don't sound dope. Like, yo, Jordan Hordos. I mean, sound
dope, but like, at the same time, it's like, you know, you're going to have to deal with some Venom, but they're going to be tight. They're going to be dope.
Yo, and that would be ill, too. Like, it'll be like when Lil Nas X put out his sneakers with like a little bit of blood in the heel. You could put a little bit of Venom in the heel, you know? And that could really be the Hordos.
That's such a crazy note. Like, who's going to prove that there's really blood in the shoe?
I would legitimately think that someone bored rich would have bought two pairs, broken one, just to test it and sue.
That's
because if it's not there, you could legit sue. Like, yeah, I bought two of these shits.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? False advertisement, but you messing up the market value of my kicks that I was telling people had blood in them. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's just Kool-Aid, B. You know? I want my money back.
How would you know? Hopefully they're doing like various tests and not doing a taste test because that would just be nasty. Whose blood is it, by the way?
They said it was like some of the staff workers. I think I remember this correctly. It was like people from the, like, there was like a group that was doing the art design.
Mm-hmm.
So like part of the artist collective, it was like their blood. It was a small amount. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know what amount makes it cool, but
yeah, what legal department at any company is like, yeah, y'all can prick your fingers and put them in the shoe. Like, that isn't nothing about this sounds legal.
I remember signing that. Okay. That wasn't all the onboarding. You know, I got to donate blood.
You know, there's definitely like a black dude that was on the team just like, look at all these white people pricking their fingers, sticking their fingers in the shoes. And he's like, I ain't doing that shit.
Oh man, like, I'm a janitor here, okay? Like, I signed up for that. I'm in HR. Oh man, good luck to them out there, you know. But I'm looking forward to these Venomous sneaker editions. Everything, every way I say it, it sounds dope. I can't front. Know what I mean? Yeah, I really want these sneakers. 100%. Make it happen out there, Nike. Do some, you know, creative work on that. I'm actually gonna keep these. I'm gonna keep this picture, and I'm gonna send it to a sneakerhead that I know to see if he could do like a little altercation on one of mine. You want to see me rocking shoes, these?
That's the thing.
Hold up. Yo, that's the only way, I think. I think that's the future. It's the way to like really make them personal. So you're going to see me out here with these Hordo custom Uptowns, baby. It's going to be dope. Your toilet paper roll is slimming down. That's right. Slim down toilet paper. Fewer cookies in your bag, less conditioner and squeeze tube. Okay, these are also, this is a much better first line from CNN on that one. I'll give them that. The changes are subtle but might evade less discerning shoppers. But retail industry experts say we could see more consumer products start shrinking in size or quantity, possibly both because of rising costs. Record levels of inflation means households are paying more for everyday purchases, and it's costing companies more to produce packaged items like paper products, shampoos, as well as food and beverage products. Companies can raise prices, and many are. Others are charging customers the same price while offering less. Product downsizing, also known as shrinkflation, interesting, is happening with toilet paper, said Edgar Dworsky, a former assistant attorney general in Massachusetts, who is a consumer advocate and editor of the website consumerworld.org. Downsizing happens during times of inflation because companies that make everyday products are also paying more for raw materials, production, and delivery costs, said Dworsky. I think I said his name three different ways. I'm sorry, Dworsky. Dworsky said product downsizing is becoming increasingly prevalent, and he recently picked up on several instances of brands inconspicuously shrinking the size of their products. For example, Procter & Gamble's Charmin Ultra Soft Toilet Paper 18-count mega package now contains 244 two-ply sheets, down from the previous 264. My man, yo, he was counting. That's right. And Super Mega Rolls of the brand now display 366 sheets versus the previous 396. That amounts to losing the equivalent of about a roll and a half on the new 18 count, he said. Okay. Dworsky noted. Yo, my man out here, he keeping track for us. He noted large size toilet paper packs are most commonly stocked in stores now. It's almost impossible to find a four pack, he said. Yo, I really feel like Dworsky was just yelling at a Target. And the CNN writer was like, oh, I'm going to turn this into an article. I bet I could. And she took on a challenge and she made it happen. I mean,
it's a good thing to bring to the light, you know, because one of the only few embarrassing things that to buy consistently would be toilet paper. Because everyone knows, oh, that person's got to poop. Like if you align with a stack of toilet paper, people are like, oh, you're going to have to take a shit. And so like they have to go even more times to get to re-up your paper, your toilet paper. That's not a good look.
That's fair. Yeah. I stopped buying it in stores. You're right. I don't want people judging me. That's a delivery to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I made that an Amazon purchase so I could avoid the judgment. You know, I don't want you seeing my shit in volume. Yeah. I dig that. Yeah, I feel like we getting jerked. They're rolling a half at a time.
My wife buys like fancy toilet paper that gets like sent in like these different design covers and stuff like that. I'm like, it's just toilet paper. Like it's just going on our ass. Like, what are you doing? How much does this toilet paper cost? But there's very few things that she likes to spend money on. So the fact that it's toilet paper, I'm like, there's worse things that she could be. It's still weird.
I've always wanted to like add like phrases related to the task that like are silly. Like I wanted to make like my own toilet. Like I wanted the toilet paper to be like what Taco Bell hot sauce packets are like, where they're like, oh, you ready? You know, like shit like that. Like they like be like, yeah, you can't handle this. I wanted the toilet paper to similarly like be understanding. Like I can't believe you putting me through this. You like I wanted to put stuff like that on the toilet paper, you know? I don't know why. I just feel like it'd be silly. And there'd be like a real particular niche market for that. Like people would buy it for like birthdays, you know?
Mad weird, bro.
Listen, I'm inspired when I'm inspired, okay? I have different business ideas,
I'm not going to step on your dreams.
You know? You know what? Just because of that, that is the next business I'm starting. I'm writing it down now, you know? Sell toilet paper to prove Brandon wrong. I'm writing it down. This is going to be the new dream. Toilet paper empire.
I mean, you could, hustle some toilet paper like after a comedy show. You could be like, if y'all like what I did, y'all can get some of my toilet paper after the show. I'm selling 3 for $12.
Let's go. I'm doing better than Target, okay? 396 sheets on my rolls, okay? I'm ready. Admittedly, single ply, so it's a little dry. Yeah, I spit on these, but it's still good. We out here, baby. A counterfeit Patrick Mahomes Chiefs Super Bowl rings seized as part of a federal bust. That's right. U.S. Customs and Border Protection announced on Monday that it has seized 80 fake Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rings, including some with Patrick Mahomes' name engraved and other counterfeit memorabilia in Louisville, according to TMZ Sports. The fake memorabilia package was being shipped from China to Florida. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said the package was worth $345,000. Is that like real world value or even the value of them being known as fake? I'm curious. In addition to Chiefs Super Bowl rings, the package included a large amount of fake Mahomes memorabilia. There were also 30 fake Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl rings, 110 fake Atlanta Braves World Series rings, and 10 fake Milwaukee Bucks NBA championship rings. Yo, they was doing it. Okay.
Guys, with that many, I imagine that the material is worth. That's what like adds up that worth.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I mean, those are numbers.
To convince people, you have to make it as authentic as possible. So you have to use like legit materials, probably.
Yeah. Like you could probably go to like 14 karat gold, but it's still got to be gold. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. You can't just be out here with, you know, spray paint, you know. Counterfeit jewelry continues to flood e-commerce markets, and these rings were focused on a select group of sports collectors and their fans. Our officers are well trained to find counterfeit merchandise like these in support of CBP's commission of protecting the American public and the American economy. In January, 56 shipments of 1,382 fake sports championships and trophies were seized by the authorities. If they were assumed to be authentic, the items would be worth around $1 million. Like sports cards, some of these are worth more than a million. Sports memorabilia has become very popular over the last several years with collectors looking to get their hands on some of the best items. Yeah, this is wild. I'm impressed with this hustle, though. This is pretty dope. I feel like this would be the crime that, like, I'm least hurt by. Like, if I'm mad, at least I still have a dope ring, you know? Like, I could still wear that. If you're, like, a big fan of, like, the Chiefs, you'd be like, oh, nah, I really believed in them that year. So I wanted my own. You know, I feel like that's cool. And it's still real gold. It's just not the real ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I could live with that.
Yeah, I could definitely deal with that. I rocked a fake Louis Vuitton backpack like Kanye had for about 2 years. Like, I'm good with counterfeit. Like, because if you're hoity-toity enough to be like, oh, that's fake, I'll be like, why do you care? Let me be great. Let me just shine.
That's it. I'm with that. Yo, low-key, I'm seeing more and more of this future of you playing Kanye.
Bro, yeah, I'm trying to make it happen, man. I'm going to try and make it happen.
I'm rooting for you, brother. Sincerely, I don't think I've wanted many things more, Brendan.
I'm not gonna go down this rabbit hole, but I literally choreographed a dance my senior year in college for this dance concert to Kanye West songs, and I called it Branduation on a play on Graduation. Yes, I used to be big into Kanye. Like, he's insane now, and his music has been inconsistent as hell ever since My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. But early Kanye, yeah, I was a stan.
Yo, I'm with it. I've been trying to get Kanye elected to office longer than Kanye, okay? I love it. I love the idea of it. I want him to be president. Until, like, maybe 2 months ago, I was still on board, you know? Way later than most people, you know. I think even later than Kanye, I still believe in the idea, you know. And I still think there's a possible comeback. So who knows? Ooh. We out here. It might happen, you know. And you know what's going to start it? When you play Kanye in that movie. It's going to remind people the greatness that is Kanye, that's within him, you know. Putting it out there. Watch. It's going to be a resurgence. It's going to be like when that black dude was president in 24, and then people were like, oh, Obama might not be a bad idea. You know,
yeah,
same right. idea. It's going to happen. You know, put it's it out
Dennis
there.
Dennis Ebert, this shit.
Hell yeah. Boom. You heard it here, baby. Finally, AMC may sell you popcorn outside of the movie theaters. That's right. Mm-hmm. AMC Entertainment, the theater chain and darling of the meme star crowd, is hoping to profit as more people stay home to watch movies on streaming networks like Netflix and Disney Plus. How? In the immortal words of NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens, get your popcorn ready. CNN, yo, what's going on with y'all today, B? Yo.
You're crazy.
Y'all wilding out over there. AMC announced last week that it hired a veteran. Low key, every one of these first paragraphs, I feel like I wrote these. And like, I don't assume I'm CNN, okay? That's not my vibe, but I'm about to apply. Every single article, I feel like I could have wrote these first paragraphs. AMC announced last week that it hired a veteran consumer products executive to try to ramp up its business of selling its popcorn at retail stores, not just theaters. Ellen Kopikin, previously an executive at Pepsi, Frito-Lay Snack Unit, and Twinkies owner Hostess Brands, will start at AMC on Friday as the company's VP of Growth Strategy. It's a new position for AMC, and Kopikin will report to the Chief Strategy Officer, Mark Pearson. AMC first said in November that it was planning to make a bigger bet on the popcorn business. I'm blown away that these are like real sentences, like the popcorn business. This is wild to me.
I'm with it though. I'm with a movie theater popcorn. There's nothing like it. Like, yeah, I've tried a bunch of different brands to make at home.
Yeah,
it's just not the same. Like when I went to go see a Batman recently, I just was like sitting back, not only enjoying the movie, but just eating this buttery popcorn. I'm like, I don't get this at home.
How do you create that at home?
Well, I think, you know,
like, they would have to be assembly, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe like depending on the manufacturer who like will create it, like they will try to replicate it exactly the way that AMC sounds. But I know there was also in that article they talked about how you could do pickup.
Yeah,
crazy. Because that means that you're a lazy motherfucker if you do an Uber Eats for like popcorn, nachos, and movie theater hot dogs. Like that's wild. But I can see a world where we do that though.
Yo,
I can see that happening.
As bananas, me. I can't do that. I like yesterday. My wife wanted wings from Checkers. And like between the wings and the Baconzilla that I ordered for myself, it was like $45. And like on principle, I was like, I gotta go get this myself. I can't do that. I'm like, this is like $18 if I go to the store myself. You know, I believe in tipping the driver, but there comes a point where like, oh, that's just the whole tank of gas. I could have just loaded up myself because I don't want to drive for 10 minutes.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So yeah, I cannot get you if I'm there and I got to spend $35 because this is the only popcorn that you'll let me have because I can't sneak in stuff no more, you know? But I can't see myself paying that and a $10 Uber charge to have that popcorn in my house when I got popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, you just going to have to deal with the smart food popcorn, okay? Whatever that cheese thing is, the Frito-Lay sells. Mm-hmm. You gonna have that, okay, kids? You gonna have the red hot popcorn from Wise, okay? That's what we have here. That's what this family supports. 50-cent popcorn. We don't do this shit. Freaking Uber and popcorn. Madness, y'all. That's so wild. Y'all, I'm a Uber.
I might popcorn. Do it just to see if the popcorn stays intact.
Yeah, how do you mean? What do you mean?
Like imagine like you on a little motorbike trying to get a bag of popcorn to a customer. You're just like, oh man, I'm gonna lose these kernels. You like
that is slipping you all the popcorn just they have to cover that. Like front door. This ain't the large, B. I ordered the large, okay? I know you've been eating my popcorn in that car. Put it back, B. I caught you. You heard it here first. Popcorn will start the next war, okay? It's going to happen. People are going to get popcorn deliveries. They're going to be short because half the popcorn spilled in a Corolla while bringing it to you because you were too lazy to get your $75 popcorn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are fighting over popcorn because you're mad because you already clicked start on your HBO movie, you know? And half the kids in the house saw the beginning and you pissed off. You're going to make them restart it. You're going to be inside yelling because one of your hands is going to be buttery and the other one's not because you was the one that was told to pour out the popcorn into bowls. All that because you didn't want to go to the movie theater. Save that drive.
Choices, 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 bro.
Real. This is the weirdest way to start the apocalyptic end of this world. I know. But I promise you it can happen. It's real. I'm going to write that script. Okay? Brandon's going to star in it. It's going to be a new vehicle. You That's know, right. He's going to win awards for it. Because first he's going to win like real artsy awards, like independent spirit shit for the Kanye portrayal. But this is what's going to make him a star. The vampire movie that starts with the popcorn.
Yes, sir.
From AMC Theaters, baby. You heard it here first. If you would like to support the shitty movies that I want to make, starring superstar actor Brandon Collins, all you got to do is like and subscribe with the show, baby. If you're an Apple or podcast listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars means you don't see the vision. You don't believe that popcorn could start a war. You don't see what I see, okay? 5 stars, you've tasted AMC popcorn. You understand how serious this is, okay?
Yeah. Salt and butter, baby.
It's different, okay? The salt and butter popcorn flavor at the store, not the same, okay? You trying to melt your own butter on the popcorn, too lumpy, too soggy. You don't know what you're doing. You don't got the right tools. Leave it to AMC. Okay? 5 stars, you see the vision. You understand. You've had it before. You a genius. Get on board with this. Also, we're looking for private investors for our Kickstarter for the Brandon Collins films.
That's right.
Get on board, baby. That's right. If you got any articles you want us to cover, DM us directly on Twitter or Instagram, at Silky Jumbo for the homie, at Gastron Monte for myself. With all that said, my name is Gastron Monte, subbing in for the homie. Shalewa Sharp is the homie, Brandon Collins. Appreciate you. Where can they find you, by the way, again?
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate you. Folks can follow me at American Collins, AmericanCollins.com. Check out my movie review podcast, Medium Popcorn, which is always a fun time where we just review old and new movies. It's always insane. I say some wild stuff that'll probably get me canceled at one point. And then also check out Drunk Black History on YouTube. That's where you can see old live shows as well as podcast episodes. Gastor was on it. Shalewa was on a live show one time. So it's a lot of fun and you learn something. So definitely check that out.
That's all we asked for right there. You can't beat that. That's right. So you heard it here. It's been American Collins with Dominican Collins. On an episode of The War Report. Catch y'all next time. Peace.
Catch y'all next week. Peace.